Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Today we have a dark mysteries episode, but this time with a little bit of a twist. I myself am going to be narrating this one live with Jesse and Dave. The catch? They don't know what we're talking about until we start talking about it. Let's see how they react to this dark mystery. What is going on, everybody? I am your host for this particular dark mystery. I am Rob Coakley. I am joined by Jesse Wilkins.
What's going on?
And by Dave Wilkins.
Well, I'm so excited.
And we're doing this whole new concept. I've been wanting to do this for like 2 weeks now. I've been researching this topic. And it's such a bonkers tale that I felt the best way to do this was to just tell Jesse and Dave the story. And we get their live reactions as we go through each layer, because there are layers to this story that when you think it's not going to get crazier, it's going to get crazier. So without further ado, are you guys excited for this particular concept?
Yes.
You can tell.
Yeah, sounds it.
I already said I was excited. How many times? How many times do I have to say it, Rob? Let's just fucking get it over with.
All right, so let's get into it. Today's dark mystery, we are going to be talking about Mel's Hole.
Okay.
Are you ready? Right. Did you either, before we start, have you either of you heard of Mel's Hole?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Okay, perfect. So the story of Mel's Hole begins on February 21st, 1997. A man by the name of Mel Waters called into the popular show Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Mel began to describe an astonishing hole, which was 9 feet in diameter, that was on his property near Ellensburg, Washington. Now, the locals, they'd been using the hole as a natural trash dump for years. They were throwing out household trash, refrigerators, basically anything that you could think of. Their decision was, we're just going to go throw all this shit into a hole and hope we don't get in trouble for it, basically.
Sure.
Sounds like Rob's ex-wife, am I right?
Yes. I've been married so many times, as everyone knows.
No family.
So Mel was also tossing stuff in the trash, but then he started to get like really curious about this hole. He noticed when he was dumping things into it that he never heard a sound of anything hitting the bottom. So
that could be the first thing.
I would have immediately been curious about that.
Yeah. How long has this been going on? Like, how deep is it? All this other stuff. Everyone's just kind of doing this.
You push like a refrigerator down there or something. You're just waiting and it never splashes or anything.
Right. Wow.
Never heard my first three children even hit the bottom.
Well, he decided that he was going to conduct an experiment. He was going to find out how deep this hole was, right? Like, let's figure it out. Let's figure out how deep this is going. And what's down there? Is it sand? Is it water? Do either of you want to like wager how you would try to figure that out? Would you?
I get a really long rope and lower a video camera.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I was just going to go straight for rappelling.
That's crazy.
That's insanity.
I'm an extreme guy. I don't know if you guys know this.
We're going to learn later that probably would have been a really bad idea. So what Mel decided to do was he decided to take a fishing line, and at the end of this fishing line, he put a lifesaver on it. And his thought process was he could figure out how, like, he had the length of the fishing line, all like, you know, 100,000 feet, whatever it was. And if he put a lifesaver at the end of it, it would come up either dirty if it was dirt on the bottom, or it would dissolve if there was water down there.
Oh, so the actual candy. You're not talking about like a...
Right, the candy. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I probably should have specified that it was the candy.
Well, a little inconsiderate and a little considerate. Because number one, if there was somebody down there, if he used an actual life preserver, he could have saved their life. However, if there was a person down there who didn't want to get out, he could have
sent a candy down.
Delicious treat for that person in the hole.
My other question is, are Lifesavers candy still a thing? When we were kids, like,
absolutely. They would,
I felt like you got them every Christmas. You got like these like Santa Claus huts with like 8 packs of Lifesavers. And I've never looked for Lifesavers in the last 20 years on store shelves.
I haven't even seen them in like the checkout aisle, but I bet they're there. And now we'll be looking for them. So now we're going to see them everywhere.
Right.
They are. They're there. They come in the, I don't really see the rolls of them so often, but they have like the big bags of them.
Oh,
individually wrapped. They also have the gummy ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've had the gummy Lifesavers plenty of times.
Mm. So he decided to lower it down. And when he did, he brought it back up when he got to the end of the line. And nothing. It wasn't dirty. It hadn't dissolved. So he decided to tie another fishing line. And he continued to do this until he got it to go down 80,000 feet.
Wait.
Oh.
80,000 feet? So he had what, like...
one fishing line?
One spool.
Yeah. He
went 80,000 feet and still didn't touch, or 80,000 feet and then he struck something?
Nope, 80,000 feet and it still didn't touch anything. And that was as deep as he went with it. He would be doing these experiments and he would bring his dogs with him, or he tried to the first few times. And he noticed that when his dogs would get close to the hole, they would start to whimper and they would refuse to get closer to this hole. And this was one of his things that he would tell. And I'm like, yeah, because dogs are smart. They know that they don't want to be near like a hole that they could fall in and die, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going to try to do that. That doesn't, to me, specify anything paranormal.
My dog got into the trash and ate a bunch of Q-tips today. Mm. So I don't know if I'd say smart.
All right, well.
Did you try one of these Q-tips?
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
So how do you know they're not delicious?
Because she puked them up all over the couch.
Sometimes. Now, I'm a guy who finds whiskey delicious.
Sure. Okay.
Sometimes if I have too much, I puke all over the couch.
Yeah, you should step your game up.
You should just eat Q-tips instead.
Honey, grab the Q-tips. Dave's disappointed in me again.
All right, so after these experiments and he couldn't get it to go down any further, he decided that he was going to document some more things that happened around here. And what he noticed was that himself and some neighbors saw it's hard to explain this, but he said a black beam emanating from the hole into the sky occasionally.
A black beam.
Yeah.
So a beam of darkness instead of a beam of light. That's eerie.
Correct. So
like a shadow?
I guess so. Like that's how he described it.
Like a giant black Twizzlers coming out of the hole.
Yeah. It was all Twizzlers. And the other thing he noticed is that when he would
a giant black Q-tip.
Oh, yes.
The other thing he would notice is that when he would bring his radio near the hole, the radio would only play music and radio shows from decades prior.
What in the world? So he just, the radio went straight to oldies mode?
It went to like 1930s, 1940s music, where it was only playing songs like from that era and radio programs, like the old timey stuff, right? So found that really weird. And then comes one of the more stranger things. One of his neighbors decided that after his dog passed away, instead of burying his dog, he threw it in Mel's hole.
You piece of shit. The dog hated the hole.
Yeah. Well, one of his neighbors. This isn't Mel's dog. So he took the dead body of the dog and threw it in the hole. The very next day, Mel and the neighbor and other neighbors saw that very dog running around and around the like local properties.
Oh, shit.
And you might say, was it a dog that looked like this dog?
That is what I would say.
Right. Well, the rebuttal to that was they knew it was the same dog because it was wearing the collar
that
had been thrown into the hole with.
So this could be like a portal. Does that mean that somebody's yard is just full of trash all the time and they keep like, where is it coming from?
Yeah, can I get a Mel's hole from my fucking neighbor that has just wheelbarrows and all sorts of trash just all over the place?
So the other thing with this dog is, although they all recognize the dog, they recognize the collar, the dog seemed as though it didn't recognize them and not even its owner. And it ended up running off and they never saw it again.
Kind of feels like a little pet cemetery.
Pet cemetery.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Very, very pet cemetery like.
Look at us with the great ideas. Let's sit next to each other.
Yeah.
Look at that. A couple of buddies over here with the same ideas.
All right. So do we have any, I mean, you guys are going with the pet cemetery thing before we start going into this even deeper. Do you guys have any theories, any observations of what we've gone over with the hole so far?
It's a dimensional portal because it can't just be like a regular portal because you threw a dead thing in and it came back. So I don't know. Maybe there's like some sort of dimensional intersection.
Yeah, the radio thing, I don't find that too much weird because you still have oldies stations. You have radio stations that play older radio shows. So, and radios are weird. Frequencies, I literally work at one. Yes, there are oldies stations.
No, they play older music, but this is playing like the old, like, the Little Orphan Annie is coming on tonight at 7 p.m. Make sure you have your decoder ring.
Yeah, so around like Christmas time and stuff like that. I don't know what time of year this happened, and I'm not ruling out that it could be anything strange going on here, but they do. They go back and play like old broadcasts. They every year they go back and play like the first ever radio broadcast in America and stuff like that. So it's an oldie station. They love this older kind of stuff, obviously. That's their shtick. So there's still plenty of radio stations in every town that do that. So it could be something where maybe he was getting closer. Maybe it was underneath a power line, which can mess with the radio frequencies. And maybe it's just picking up on a different station. It's quite possible. There's also the possibility that someone's running, you can run a pirate radio station out of your own house and just have your own transmitter. So it's possible that maybe a neighbor close by was running one of those kind of radio stations out of their house with a crappy antenna or something. And when he got close to that, it could have been interfering. So the radio stuff, there's plenty of ways to debunk it.
That's all so far-fetched, though. Like, don't you think it's so much simpler, like interdimensional portal? I mean, it could be picking up an AM radio frequency too. Nobody knows what goes on those AM radio stations. Could
be anything. with most radios, you got to switch from AM to FM. It's completely different setting. So, but interdimensional portal, more fun. Yep.
All right. Well, why don't we explore this a little bit more? After these two calls in 1997, Mel Waters would disappear from calling into the Art Bell Coast to Coast show until the year 2000, and in the year 2000, Mel would claim that during his, after calling into the radio station, he came home one day and he found his property crawling with government officials. And at first, these government officials claimed that there was a plane crash on the property and that they were scouring that. And he wasn't allowed to go near anything because it was an Air Force plane that went down.
What, does he live at the Pentagon? What is this? There was a plane crash. There's just no trace of a plane.
Yeah. Well, they said it was on his property and he owned a lot of land, supposedly. So next, the agents told Mel that he would have to surrender his property to them. Mm-mm. And in exchange, basically, he was going to be allowed to keep ownership, but they were going to rent his property for $250,000 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
Here's the catch. They told him he had to leave America and he was not allowed to come back.
What is going on? Wait, where was this?
This is in Ellensburg, Washington, is where, okay, or right around there. It's like in the general vicinity of there.
What the fuck is going
on? Does he have documentation to say that this conversation happened?
Sir, just let me tell the story.
Okay. Carry on.
But it's a fair question. He made his way to Australia and he stayed there for 2.5 years. And then he got a call from his nephew asking him to come home to help him move. And we're going to stop the story here for 1 second. Because if you were told that you were going to get $250,000 a month and you weren't allowed to come back to America, are you going to come back to help your nephew?
You're missing the bigger point. What nephew calls a relative on the other side of the fucking planet to help him move?
Yeah.
That nephew sucks.
The worst, right? Right?
How is that even close to practical?
Not. It's not.
God, I got to move. All right. Hey, call a guy in Australia. Like, it's
don't you? But to be fair, doesn't he have like a dimensional portal he can jump through?
That's it. That's Washington.
But he's definitely got the money to travel back and forth still.
Well, he's got the money to pay somebody. Yeah. Just like, I'm not coming back. Here's 10 grand. Move. Have fun. So he goes back and to help his nephew move.
Dumb move. Dumb move on both.
Yeah, not smart. So upon his return, he made a call to Art Bell and told him that he would do another interview on the air. And also the day...
Dude, you're getting paid $250,000 a month to not be in America. You go in, you help your dumb nephew move, you teach him how to make friends or hire a moving company for a lot less than a plane ticket to and from Australia, and you don't go on the goddamn radio and announce your return.
Back. Guess what?
I don't feel bad for Mel. Whatever happens to him, if the government throws him down the hole at this point, I'm not on his side.
I don't know what branch of government this is, but if they're paying you $250,000 to leave the country and not ask questions, it's the scariest branch of the government.
CIA. Space Force. Gotta be Space Force. They got nothing else to do.
I think he said on the show that it was FBI, but I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
Sounds like an FBI thing.
He comes back, and he's supposed to make this call, and he doesn't. And Art Bell's like, well, Mel Waters was supposed to call in. Also, this whole segment became one of the most listened to segments on Art Bell's show of all time. So people were excited to hear from Mel again because they were really invested in the story. And then he kind of just disappeared. So.
So when he disappeared, he didn't like tell the radio station anything. I assume they were like, by the way, don't fucking tell anyone that we're doing all this.
Yeah, he just kind of vanished from the way I understand it. I didn't listen to all 5 hours of the footage, which we could do at some point. But I think it was 3 weeks after he was supposed to be on the Art Bell show, he finally calls in and he reveals where he was. When he returned to America, somebody started following him. Then he was detained, questioned, and eventually drugged.
Oh, no.
12 days after being drugged, Mel woke up in an alleyway in San Francisco.
Oh, shit.
Missing his wallet, keys, belt buckle, and his rare molars.
Oh, no. What the hell is going on?
So he would eventually find out the government had taken his land and claimed that illegal dumping from him was contaminating the water source. So they have now...
Fairness, he was dumping a lot of shit.
So that explains... I
hate to take the government side on this side of things, but like Mel's doing some dumb stuff.
No, but that explains why they had to take his teeth.
Yes.
That's a good
Makes
point.
Total sense, right? It all Gotta adds up.
So that is what happened.
You'd get Jesse, they'd fine you, right? Here's a fine for $10,000 or whatever. They don't drug you and make you disappear for 12 days, take your teeth and your belt.
This is what I'm saying. Like this is on the nephew, right?
Yeah, partially.
The worst nephew of all time.
Mel's you can't just expect to come back from Australia and just sit safe in America and not get your molars stolen. It happens all the time. This is why they don't come here from Australia anymore.
This is why once you go to Australia, you don't come back.
Hand him over, he said, nar.
So story's getting a little wild, right? You guys think, we've escalated a bit. Some things have happened.
I sense that we're not nearly done yet.
But we're not done, Jesse. You're correct. We have so much more to talk about. In 2002, Mel would make his final call to Coast to Coast and tell Art Bell about the following. Members of a Native American tribe in the Basque. Have you guys heard of the Basque? It's Basque. So the best way I can describe it is they're like a group of people that lived sort of between, from what I understand, Spain and France, and like a good amount moved out to America at one point, and they have different sections that they live in, mostly on the West Coast. And they like have the Basque is a certain language as well. So there's different Basque colonies, supposedly.
Gotcha.
They really fucked up by not calling themselves Baskards.
That's the plural version.
Oh, gotcha.
It's just one Basque. If it's one person, it's Baskards. If there's more than one.
What are they, like on the border of France and Spain? Like, how are you in between France? They're like right on the line?
Well, I don't know. I didn't go into a whole research on what who the Basque people are and their history just to tell you this, like, three lines of
okay
of what happened with Mel's Hole.
If you did, you could have basked in glory.
Oh, no.
That's the Basque joke you're going to hear all night.
So these members of the Native American tribe and the Basque reach out to Mel. And what do you think they wanted to talk to Mel about? Any guesses?
Did you say Native American tribe?
Yep, there was.
Now I'm really fucking confused.
And the Basque.
Are there? Okay.
And the Basque. So the Basque and a group of Native Americans as well.
Gotcha.
Okay. I thought you were saying the Basque. Oh, never mind.
It's that rare breed of Native Americans that are from France and Spain.
So what do you think that you wanted to talk to him about? Any guesses on this one?
No.
His teeth.
There's a second hole. There's another hole. And they want Mel Waters to help them do experiments at it, is why they reach out to him.
What were they like, I hear you know how to tie a fishing line together, sir.
I know you know where to buy lifesavers.
That's all he did.
He didn't do a good job. He never found out how deep it was. Why is he the expert on this? If anything, he's not the expert on this. They should call his nephew.
So upon arrival, he took him up on their offer, and upon arrival, he saw that the second hole was also 9 feet in diameter. The difference? This one had like a metal collar around it. So instead of it just being a hole, it was a metal collar. And he said it looked like something could like click into it almost. So he wasn't sure what that was. And when he got there, he took a metal wrench and he dropped it on this metal collar. And he said no sound was produced. So this metal was absorbing sound as well.
As metal does.
Does
no,
it?
No. It does not. Reverberate sound.
All right. What do you think their first experiment was for this particular hole, gentlemen?
I hope it's to throw somebody in.
It's not.
I'm going to guess fishing line and a lifesaver.
No, they've decided to do something else this time.
Hopefully like video or photo proof.
That would be the smart thing to do, right?
Hmm.
No, what they decided to do this time was to lower a bucket of ice into the hole.
Why?
Well, upon bringing back the ice back up, they noticed that the ice had not melted. And remember, this is in Nevada. The other thing is, although it hadn't melted, it was no longer cool to the touch. And not only was it not only cool to the touch, it felt like a silica now instead of ice, is what they said. Right. So like almost that it had changed properties. What they decided to do next with this block of ice was throw it on a cooking fire.
Yeah.
And to see if it would melt. Instead of melting, the block began to burn. Not as you would think, though. Mel's description was that it was like the burning of the last flicker of a gas stove before you turned it off. And when it's a weird description, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to, I can't just go on.
and these things would continue to burn. They didn't go out and they would burn for almost, it felt like forever.
What year was this?
So this is 2002.
Where's the footage? Like you catch a block of ice on fire that will not go out. You grab a camera. Where's the footage of this stuff?
Well, there's some explanations for that sort of later.
Explanations for why there's no video or photo documentation of any of this?
Yes.
The government took it.
Could be.
That's like a reasonable explanation. I mean, I guess I'll wait to see what the actual explanation is.
I don't have a great one for you. I'm just going to tell you that in advance. They did try to do some audio recordings.
This is irresponsible. No, this is 2002. We're not talking about like the 1920s or like way earlier.
Or even like the 70s.
Right. When video cameras weren't as readily available as they are now. It's like, this is either just the next great story for Coast to Coast AM, or it's just the most irresponsible dudes ever. Like you're doing these giant experiments, testing out ice, thinking to set it on fire. And then you capture this phenomenon. You're all experiencing this block of ice burning for a long period of time, and no one thinks to take a picture or grab a video camera. This upsets me.
we can tell you're very, you're all fired up tonight.
Well, just make it, I mean, without, with just being perfectly honest here, it makes it sound like complete bullshit.
Well, we're going to ask about your theories at the end of it, but we're going to continue. Right. Maybe some of this will end up making sense. And maybe you'll come around to Mel's holes by the end of this story.
Okay.
So people began using the people that were doing the experiments, the Basque people and the Native Americans. They had set up some cabins in the area to work on this, and they began to use these quote unquote block of ice to keep their cabins warm. And after 3 months, one of the man's cabins collapsed into wood dust after the block fell and started melting into the ground. It is believed that the blocks began to suck all the moisture out of everything over time. So although these things were burning, they were saying that anything that was in the vicinity, just all the moisture was getting sucked out of them. Like even people, they had to like leave the room or leave the cabins because they were drying out if they were in there for too long.
So you can actually remove the oxygen from ice by using... I just Googled it here. So it's possible to remove oxygen from air, from ice using air chemicals. One way to do this is to use a chemical called sodium hydrosulfite. So you can actually remove the oxygen from ice to dehydrate it. And then it would turn into that sort of silica type dry ice or dehydrated ice, which is basically like CO2 based ice that would probably burn if you put it on fire.
For months at a time?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't know. I just Googled it.
Well, this wasn't their last experiment, but this next one was their last experiment at the hole. Are you guys ready to hear about the sheep experiment?
This sounds like the experiment they did at the Huska Castle back in like 800 AD.
It sounds exactly like down that. There. It's almost the same. It's the same experiment with much different results is what we will say.
The only difference is at Huska Castle, they had an excuse for not videotaping.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
All right. I hope you guys, do you guys have any guesses about the sheep experiment? This is the last thing.
They tied a sheep to a rope and lowered the sheep down there. And when they pulled it back up, it was speaking Latin.
And it was half eaten by a dinosaur.
All right. So the group decided to lower a sheep 1,500 feet down into the hole. You know, just to see what would happen.
That sheep was like, what the fuck is going on?
This is something that I tell my wife, like, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do this weekend. And she's like, you got to be kidding me. And then I get all surprised when she doesn't want to join us. Coming or no, I think I'll stay home. What? We're going to lower a sheep 1,500 feet and you don't want to see this?
That's what happens.
Forgot the video camera again.
As the sheep approached the hole, it began to get agitated. So much so that they had to use a
stun. Can't believe he doesn't love this.
He was so agitated, they had to use a stun rod to get him into the crate to lower him down. So now we're just being dicks.
Not cool.
When he gets for acting sheepish.
As they lowered it, they could feel the sheep moving on the platform. Yet when it reached the 700-foot depth mark, it stopped. They left the sheep sitting there for 30 minutes before pulling it back up. After winching it back to the surface, they discovered the sheep was now dead. Also, when it got lowered to the 1,500-foot mark, the metal started vibrating too.
All right. This is like the only case in like U.S. history that I'm just completely on side with the government. Get him out of the country. Get this man out of here. All of his experiments suck.
Get the rest of his teeth.
Take all his teeth and get him out.
What we did was we tased a sheep and then we lowered it into an abyss and left it there till it died. And when we pulled it up, it was dead.
I don't know why it didn't seem to be having a good time.
I fancy myself somewhat a scientist.
Now somebody, get me some fishing line. I'm going to tie this together.
We're gonna fill this sheep with lifesavers and see what happens when we lower it into the hole.
I gotta tell you, like I've never listened to an interview with this guy, but if I were to listen to an interview, I feel like I would be disappointed if he doesn't sound like the biggest idiot in the world. there's no way to explain these experiments and sound like an actual smart person.
All right. Well, After the sheep was brought back up to the surface dead, they performed an autopsy on the sheep, because it sounds like these people are just qualified for autopsies, right? Like they, they know what they're doing, right? So on the outside, the sheep looked normal. Yet on the inside, things weren't quite right. First thing that they notice, it appeared that the sheep had been cooked from the inside.
Oh, maybe from tasing it.
Just nonstop.
We don't know what could have done this. Was it lowering into the hole, or was it the 13 hours of pure torture we did on it?
They also believe that they had found a large tumor inside of the sheep.
Did they find this before or after they waterboarded it?
Also, like, how do they know the tumor wasn't there to begin with? Did they, like, do a biopsy, like, beforehand?
Well, let's talk a little more about this tumor. So they removed the tumor from the body, and as they were removing it, they believed that they saw movement from within the tumor.
Ooh.
And as they cut the tumor open, they saw what they described as
a baby sheep.
Something.
Turns out it wasn't a tumor. It was the woomer.
It's worse.
I'll shut off my mic. It's worse. Okay, go.
It's worse. They described that they saw something that looked like a fetal seal with human eyes come out attached to an umbilical cord.
And do we have a picture?
I don't want a picture of this, honestly. I don't want to see it.
Did someone just park a forklift in someone's house? What did I just hear?
I don't know what that vehicle was, but it was awful. And it sounded
outside
like,
of your
it's
house.
It's still going. It won't stop.
What is it? You have a space invasion going on. You have a Mel's hole being dug in your yard right now.
The government coming to get us for telling the story of Mel's hole. It's just the Air Force coming down at all of our houses.
Oh, no.
So they see this creature. And then Mel said that the being appeared to be filled with compassion.
Oh. They have a picture of the compassion.
And after nodding to the experimenters, it leapt back into the hole.
I hate this story.
Mel also disclosed that he had cancer before going to check out this new hole. And upon returning to civilization afterwards, he was cancer free, believing that the fetal seal with human eyes cured him.
What did he have? Molar cancer?
Mel also said that the creature was still visiting the Basque shepherds that lived near the hole and would communicate with them via a portable radio. Yet, when anyone tried to record these interactions, only a series of unintelligible sounds would emit.
Okay, at least we have an attempt at recording something finally, to be honest, because all of this stuff sounds like tabloids. Right, it just sounds like stuff you'd read on the tabloids. At least we're getting an excuse as to why it's not being recorded.
And this is actually the end of Mel Waters' story, because he never called back into Coast to Coast with Art Bell. And upon further research, people looked up trying to find a Mel Waters that lived in the area, and there was no documentation of a Mel Waters ever living in the area at all. Government cover-up, of course. They would wipe him from the record books because they don't want people to know where the hole is, right? They took his molars. They took his name. They took his car keys, his belt buckle.
Gotta make sure you get the belt buckle.
That's a fun theory. But what actually happened is Art Bell hired somebody to call in, and this whole thing is completely made up.
Mm.
That's what happened.
That's what the government wants you to believe.
There we go.
Because nothing makes sense.
No.
None of this makes any sense. The government's not paying you $250,000 a month to go away.
If they could get possession of an interdimensional portal that brings dogs back to life,
they would have shoved that man into the portal so fast.
Yeah, they would have just shot him, right?
Or they would have
He would have came back stronger with some strange tumor with like an even stronger version of himself in it. You don't want to deal with that.
The government can confiscate land if they want. They don't need to fucking pay you and they'll pay you like the cheapest amount of money. Yeah,
they're going to pay you less than your house is worth. It's called eminent domain. This is how the government seizes property. All of this story sounds like the absolute ramblings of a madman or just the ramblings of someone who maybe created this to have a cool story that, you know, gained a lot of listeners. This is, had there been documentation, this is 2002, man. Like get a camera, take some pictures, take some video. Is there anything?
The government would seize it all.
This is before the government. No, I say this is before the government got involved, right? Yeah, 2002. Oh. Right around the same time we formed our government. No, that's not what I'm saying.
This is before the government.
Well, this is before you were like commonly storing pictures online. Like,
no, not, dude, it's 2002. This isn't like 1982.
You're not, dude, 2002, you weren't, like, not everybody had access to computers to store like photos and stuff online. That wasn't.
No, yeah, this is like slightly before. This is the age of maybe digital cameras, but definitely everyone was buying those disposable cameras.
That's exactly what the age of this was the disposable camera.
Yeah, there would have been so many disposable camera pictures.
The biggest nonsense of this entire story, and there's a lot of it, is his nephew calling him his uncle in Australia to come help him move.
Come help me move.
That's just the least
believable part of the story.
Isn't that weird? Because it literally is.
The communicating fetal seal with human eyes wasn't the most least believable part of the story.
This all just sounds like stuff that would be at the checkout aisle on one of those wacky tabloids. It's just, yeah. Had there been a better effort to call in professionals and document some of this stuff, then I would entertain it. But for now, with what we have, and I'll look more into it. Like I said, or like Rob said at the beginning of the show, I was completely blind to the story. Now that you had mentioned a little bit, I think I had heard a little bit about it, but I'd never done research on it. If there are photos, if there are videos out there, if there are witnesses alive that would still talk about this, then maybe I would be on board. I'll have to go back and listen to some of the stuff on the radio show. But if the radio show is just them relaying the story or even talking to this guy on the phone, it just sounds like somebody that is obsessed with this, you know, this weird, I don't know, conspiracy / paranormal stuff. And he's trying to make up the most insane story of all time, which he might have.
That might be it.
So yeah. for me, it was like, as I was researching, because I was laughing the whole time I like was reading this,
of course,
after the dog part, because like at first you're like, oh, this is kind of like weird, where's this going, right? Mm-hmm. So this is one of those things where I think I wish I could just say that I believe it, right, just so one of us could be like, yeah, there's an interdimensional hole with the seal, the government taking teeth and just like
sheep coming up with the seal, baby, human eyeballs.
Yeah. I just wish that I could be that guy, but I can't. I feel like he came up with like this coolish story, like that people wanted to hear. And then he felt like he had to tell more. Right. And he's like, oh shit, what else can happen? Government came and got me. And there was a seal and there's another hole. Of course there's another hole. Right. So it just felt like he was trying to keep the charade up, or to your point, Jesse, maybe the radio show wanted to, you know, expend, you know, have a story that came up. So I don't know. It all sounds crazy, but if it were real, the government would make it so that it sounded crazy and that they would wipe the records of everything.
It really sounds like someone who doesn't really know how government works, and the government isn't going to hush money you away with $250,000 a month. This isn't going to happen. It just sounds like something that, this guy is just getting asked all these questions like, oh, the government sent you to Australia. Well, how much did they pay you?
$250,000
total. Because that's not even what your house is worth. Oh, they pay me that every month.
Every month.
It's just like that's just not going to happen, you know? And then like, and you have this sick deal where you're going to pay $250,000 every month.
Yeah.
Well, Timothy called me and he wants me to move, so I'm going to jeopardize this insane deal that I got. And next thing you know, I woke up in San Francisco in an alley without my teeth. Like, no, dude, no. It's like,
no, you did. You woke up like that because you did meth.
Yeah.
That's why your back teeth are missing.
You're missing teeth and you're waking up in an alleyway. Yeah.
This is a sheep embryo.
Mm.
I guess it could kind of look like it has human eyes, sort of. They're circle.
Those are just eyes, dude.
Those are just eyes.
I'm just saying that maybe the sheep was pregnant and these idiots are just looking at a sheep embryo in a...
That was my first thought. It's like, oh, it's got a tumor with a baby in it. I'm like, I think you're looking at a uterus.
Yeah. This does not look like a seal, though. So I don't know. They're probably just idiots.
I mean, it's just... I just want to know who they decided was going to do these. Like, there couldn't have been doctors there that knew how to perform actual autopsies.
Where are the witnesses? Yeah, like we did an autopsy on it. Like you opened it up, you're like, ah, the hell are we looking at? There's tumors everywhere. Those are the organs, sir. No, it's. Oh God. Yeah. Like, okay. So where are the other witnesses? Again, I have not researched this case. So if they're out there, I would love to hear some of the witnesses. They said the whole neighborhood was throwing trash in this dump. Yeah. One neighbor threw his dog in. So where's the account of that? Where are the neighbors? Let's hear from the neighbors. I don't know.
So there are people from the area that will claim that they know where the hole is. And there is also, I forget his name, but there's this Native American who says that his family used to go to this hole throughout his childhood. Problem is, and they asked him to bring him to the hole, he couldn't find it.
Of course. Mm.
There is some basis of where they think this hole is actually. They think that it's an old mine shaft that's on a property in Ellensburg that they think drew the inspiration of the hole. But they're not 100% on that either.
Until you find me the hole or find me some footage and find me some actual credible witnesses, I'm not buying it.
So I have one last thing to present to you guys since we were showing pictures of things. Here is a picture of a baby seal fetus with human eyes, apparently. So
it's adorable.
If you're wondering what it would look like, it looks very compassionate.
It does actually look very compassionate. And I think that if I had cancer, I wouldn't now after seeing this.
Yeah, we're cured for life.
If you said baby seal fetus, you didn't put the word fetus anywhere in here, which is why you just got an adorable picture of a baby seal with giant eyes.
That's true.
There we go.
All right. So Rob has fixed it by typing in baby seal embryo with human eyes fetus. And this is actually a terrifying image.
Yeah.
This is actually what I would expect it to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't like this at all. This is terrifying. Well,
let's get this off the screen and end the show. What do you think? What do you guys think of this dark mystery? And, you know, this isn't to go out there and discredit anybody who is a fan of Coast to Coast AM. I know they have a lot of fans and, you know, they dive into some pretty interesting conspiracies. This one, I need some proof. I need some proof. And we got to play both sides of the fence. We can't just jump into every story and be like, well, it must be real because it's written on this website on the internet, you know? You got to do your due diligence. And if this is a true story and if this is a real thing, then they were wildly irresponsible by doing the worst job of documenting any case of paranormal or strange happenings of all time. What are you doing? It's 2002. Get a camera.
Yeah, I agree. But I thought this was going to be a fun one to talk about. Figure we should talk about it. And I like giving it to you guys blind to get the raw reactions of what you actually felt throughout the show. So if you, as Jesse said, let us know what you think, but also let us know what you thought of this episode with getting Jesse and Dave's raw reaction to this dark mystery. Do you want us to do more of these? Let us know in the comments, shoot us an email, jump in Discord, give us some show topic ideas, and we can make all of that happen. But for now, myself, Dave, and Jesse are going to get out of here. Peace.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.